All right. Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, and with the people of God, those who are, you know, have either weathered or avoided the plague. But we are here. We are in this morning. And this morning we are going to do interview style with the lovely Jennifer Pat. She has been, like, over the years here at GCF, has really become like family. Like, I mean, I say that about a lot of people at GCF, but I feel the strongest about that, like, with Jennifer. I mean, we, like, do the family things together. Like, last Christmas we did together, which was, like, the best Christmas I ever had. And we see each other through the week. And, like, I mean, I feel like you are on my heart like someone in my household. Because you are in our household.
It goes both ways. I think that's true for GCF all around now.
Yeah.
We have some very close-knit relationships.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. So God is great. He's good.
I do think this, I think does characterize GCF as a whole. Mm-hmm. But I think some certain things have taken place with, like, timing and our lives that have kind of come together in a,
absolutely.
In a different way.
This is part of your testimony, too.
Well,
in a way.
I mean, it could be the testimony of Jennifer and Teresa.
Right.
How we came to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I wanted to, again, start this off by asking you about what it is that, how could you encompass what keeps you a part of the GCF family? Like, where did you start? Where are we now? How's that journey going?
In terms of keeping me here, it was the family of God that kept me here. I mean, I can honestly say when I first came, I was a little taken back by all of you because you're so friendly and caring and kind and, you know, inviting us to your houses and just being part of a GCF was so natural to you but completely unnatural to me. That was all very new for me, and I think that just the love that you showered upon me from the very beginning that I walked through the doors kept me coming back. And all the Bible studies and, you know, Greg had such a way of taking you on for the first 2 months of your journey. And I really think that all the activities and it was hard for me at times to say, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, I may not be comfortable yet. I may not know these people, but I knew I was drawn in, and I just kept coming back because it was offering something to me that God was providing, you know, and it really kept me focused on the Lord and kept me out of my troubling mind of things that are going on in the world, and it was just a beautiful thing, and then I got addicted to it, and I just kept coming, you know.
It is habit forming.
It is habit forming.
But then I think, how would you describe how you went from being somebody that was really loved doing and embraced by the community to becoming like a central part of creating the culture, like being somebody who is like now a part of what makes GCF beautiful?
I think that for me, it was all about wanting to serve the Lord and serve you for your graciousness and love that you provided. So I got involved. You know, I started, I think first, what did I do first? I can't remember. I think I helped with some meals here and there.
Yeah.
And Christmas became a big thing. I decorated a couple Christmases. And we just wanted to provide you guys with the love that you made me feel. And I think that's what really God taught me early on was just to love people the way he made me feel loved, you know. So it just came natural in a way. It's almost like God just put it on my heart, and it was just something that I wanted to do. And I really enjoy seeing the families grow and just what God is doing in our church and in our lives. you know, and I really just want to be a part of that, you know. And I don't have that sense of family with my own family, so it was something that I really desperately desired for a long period of my life, that it just came natural. It was just something I wanted and I enjoyed, you know. So
I mean, it's all over you that you just you just live for, you know, the decorating and it's, the celebrating and the making people feel special.
See people getting married, yeah, and the babies. And I turned into grandma somewhere. I don't know when that happened.
Probably when we start having babies.
I wasn't quite prepared for all that, but
yeah, no, yeah. It's crazy that with the adoption, I think there's a lot of focus on how beautiful it is that we have a wonderful Heavenly Father. Yes. But not only that, we get to be in His family with children that share His nature, our brothers and sisters. What binds us together, amen, is the Heavenly Father. And it's like, and like what you were as you were describing what came naturally to you, like as the Lord drew me closer to Him and, you know, into this church or whatever, those things, what you're talking about doing, they didn't come naturally to me. That's the work for
Speaking
me.
Speaking of people who have changed since I met you, usually.
Well.
I mean, you know, I'll never forget helping you with that first interview and working on your self-esteem and getting you prepared.
Okay, I think we need to tell the story. Okay. So, Jennifer works for the county.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I came to GCF, I was, like, when I moved into community, I had gotten my first paycheck from a temp job that was, like, part-time. So, like, I was on shaky ground. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do rent with this. Not sustainable. But I started to have a relationship with Jennifer, and she was like, I think, you know, you can use your credentials to get this job of the county. The job of the county is going to be like the security you need, and you can do this. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, at the time, didn't feel like it was something that I was qualified for yet. It's like, you mean me have a real grown-up office job? I'm a joke. But
never.
I might have been a little bit of a joke. But but then after, Jennifer helped me with some my resume, helped me with some interview skills to have the confidence to, you know, not long after that, she always also was a reference for me. I got this county job, which I had that for 5 years, and it really, that whole process grew me up as someone to be like serious about my time and my life and everything. And that was really through Jennifer saying that, like, hey, you could do this. You're, you know, really instilling in me, you're not that 15-year-old that, like, can't do anything right. Mm-hmm. And it was really the encouragement she had to just, it took me to what I needed to be a grown-up. Because everybody, a lot of people coming to GCF were just not grown-ups. And she helped me be a grown-up in a way that, like, is just beautiful. She just poured into my life. When we had known each other just months.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, God definitely drew us together in a very powerful way.
Yeah, we not long at all. But like, and it was kind of incredible to me because she was as new to the church as I was, and yet she was already turning around and be like, ready for ministry and to help me out. And in mighty ways.
Well, I don't think that you really realized, as I said, I was just showing you what God saw in you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't see the wonderful aspects of your personality and your commitment and your drive. And, you know, God just wanted you to know you just need to go in there and sell yourself for who you are in my eyes, and you can't lose. And you did that.
God gave grace because, I interviewed against people who had, like, masters and years more experience than I did. But the reason I got the job was because my boss told a joke in the interview and I laughed. and no one else did. She's like, if you don't, I didn't want to be around someone that wasn't going to be fun.
Yes. And it's kind of, working for the county when you go in, like, especially, you know, when you haven't had, like, real adult professional job, you know, you're not used to going in, because I experienced the same thing when I went in. I'm like, I'm here in front of a panel for a job that I knew, like, nothing about. There was an ad in the newspaper that was this big for an economic support specialist. No idea what I was applying for. None. My mom's like, go.
Yeah.
It's a county job. You know, go. You know, and God put that in my path because it has offered so many blessings in my life that I never thought, I mean, without that job, I would not be able to care for Sean in, at home and keep him in the family. And, I mean, God had that provision for me, like, early on. But going into that interview in a panel style, having no clue what you're applying for, it's a little stressful. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I remember my interview for the county engineer. I kind of prepared for the interview and talking with you, mm-hmm. or whatever, but I did not go the leap to find out what a county engineer was. And so I had a good guess because there was a traffic light in the lobby. So she asked me, do you know what we do? And I was like, you deal with traffic.
You engineer in Montgomery County?
yeah. But I mean, but like the same, like it was an upgrade in lifestyle that I was just not ready for. But when you get there, the Lord makes you ready, yeah, and you know, and Jennifer was a big part of that.
Kind of, sort of.
They bought into it.
I was your godly cheerleader. I was.
Like, yeah. Oh man, yeah. But then, I mean, after me going to the county, you were, like, really majorly a part of the transition into being a wife.
Aww.
Because once again, I'm like, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. But Jennifer, she really held my hand through all of that. She even bought my wedding dress. She was my maid of honor.
Which floored me. I've known you.
But, yeah.
Sure, thank you. I'd love to be.
Yeah, and like all of the craziness because of, you know, getting ready for a wedding, you know, that is just massive decisions to be made, and I am not a deciding person.
But like speaking of weddings, I'm for the most part, like an event at GCF is an event at GCF.
Yeah.
I mean, I was here for like 30 days, and Deanna was inviting me to her wedding.
Yes. You know,
I don't even know you, but yeah, I'd love to come.
Yeah.
And that's really true for GCF.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, you don't get to know everybody like right away, but you know, everybody wants to be a part of each other's journey in life, and it's just a wonderful feeling being here.
Yeah, this, I think what's really refreshing about the community is yes, we talk about acceptance. But there's like an absence of rejection.
Correct. I think
which
that's
is,
true.
Which is a kind of an undercurrent that is powerful that makes it that this is a place of healing for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It does.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've all faced rejection that has shaped us in some negative ways, and you know, we need the healing. Yeah.
And I don't know that that's true for all churches.
No,
I mean, I can't like. It was so powerful that I felt very quickly able to talk about my sin and talk about, you know, my abortion that I had. And, you know, I'll never forget that first time coming up and helping out with what's now Hope Rising and talking about having an abortion with a lot of people that really didn't know me, didn't know my backstory. And what a powerful thing that was, because it was extremely healing, and it really gave me an opportunity to acknowledge and respect the fact that God does turn everything to good,
mm-hmm.
even your own sin. You know, I mean, for me to be able to, if I, you know, people say, well, you don't mind this being live streamed. No, I don't. Because I'll tell you what, if my testimony helps one person, it's my honor.
Yes.
You know, and I will forever be grateful for being washed clean from that, because I don't have that shame anymore. You know, and that is a powerful thing, because I'll never, like, it was bizarre for me, because when I talked about my last testimony that I had a period of what I called the comfortably numb years, because I was medicating myself with alcohol and drugs, and I didn't really, I went through a period of my life where I really gave, like, no care or consideration for myself. I lost my complete worthiness, and to be able to be free from that, it was such a wonderful thing. And I didn't really feel all that until I was just starting to come to GCF. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my God, you know, I literally killed something that God created. And it was, you know, thankfully I'm to the point where I'm not bawling and crying desperately for forgiveness the way I was at home.
Because you believe it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I just pray and am thankful for this church. I pray for those that get into that situation, that they have the courage, and that God intervenes and puts someone in their life. Because I you know, had someone said to me, well, first of all, had I bothered to share it with people and let them know what was going on with me, would have made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Because I because of my shame of getting pregnant, and I immediately went in to an abortion clinic, and they're not there to counsel you, you know, and that's what I needed, to someone to say, Jen, it's going to be okay. What are your options? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel about talking to your parents? I just wanted it not to be, you know, and I just pray for women out there that have it. Difficulty accepting the fact that they've gotten themselves pregnant, that they turn it over to the Lord and give their self to possibilities and hope, and not feel so desperate and so completely unloved.
Yes.
That they have to go to that route. It's devastating.
I it may be trivial to you, but what year was that? Was it 90?
That would have been... Yes.
90. Okay. So that also...
1991, early 90s, yeah.
So early 90s happened to be when I was born. I don't think it's coincidental that we have the bond that we do.
We do.
Aww. Yeah. that the... You know, the Lord does redeem.
Absolutely.
And he brings back what we have lost. And I think that... In a sense, I get to have a maternal relationship with you, because in the adoption, you still get to have that baby from the 90s and that, and grandbabies.
And grandbabies, amen. I'm Tina. And Jeremiah, wherever you may be.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I don't think it's coincidental. And I think that's part of the reason that we are drawn together. And especially where in my life, I think bond grew when I was really estranged from my biological mother. And I definitely had you to lean on and for guidance and through all of that.
Isn't it interesting, though, that your mom and I get along so well?
Yeah. She loves her some Jennifer. She
isn't
don't
that,
love everybody.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because, really, you were definitely estranged when we first met.
Yeah.
You and your mom were not getting along well at all.
My mom met Josiah at our tasting for our wedding. Yeah. 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 So it was that... whole period, yeah. It was definitely Jennifer was.
It's amazing to, especially in hindsight, looking at how God works in your life and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
because you know, Sean, in so many ways has been a huge blessing in my life. You know, it's been difficult having a child with special needs, but in a way, Sean saved my life because it was a wake-up call that I needed, desperately needed. And it rolled into a relationship with my mom that I didn't have. You know, it gave me the ability to spend time with my grandmother before she passed away, which was such a blessing. You know, I mean, it's interesting to look at things in hindsight and God recognized that he's been with me the whole time, but he intervenes.
He does.
It's kind of like, you know, and he does it in such a powerful, beautiful way. It's amazing.
It is that a lot of times the things that we need the most are the things sometimes we are fighting against. Mm. Yeah,
absolutely.
But the Lord, He is gracious and good. Mm-hmm. He doesn't ever put more pressure on us than is necessary. Like, and it's, you have to look back sometimes to realize that, mm-hmm. like, you know, that the Lord, He's got it all planned out.
Absolutely.
And he's good.
He's good. You know, and I think about that because, like, all the stress and pressure and pain and everything that we go through, you have conversations with people, well, good God wouldn't allow that, wouldn't do that, da 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 da. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not God. You know, that's our sin. That's our, you know, Satan working in your life. And, you know, all that pain and suffering that you feel is from horrific choices that you've made a lot of times. I mean, do bad things happen that we don't, you know, that we personally didn't cause? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not God. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's hard sometimes because you don't know the good that God has done because of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trickle effect. I mean, like, you know, losing a child in a car accident or something unplanned like that, it has got to be like the most painful, horrific thing. But I guarantee you, I know in my heart of hearts that God has done something good with that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody that witnessed the accident suddenly had a major epiphany. You know, you just don't know.
No.
And I know God is good.
Yeah.
And he's taught me that. And I know that to be the fact. So it makes life so much more manageable. I mean, the peace that I feel. When my mom passed away, I mean, I was stronger than ever. And part of that had to do with my mom. Yeah. But the majority of that had to do with my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know that God has it all under control and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, which is a very powerful thing.
Yeah, he has proven himself faithful. Mm-hmm. And I think in this test, I'm sorry.
Judah.
as we look at our testimonies, it's easier to take note of how he has been faithful. I
go get your boy.
I know.
Come on, mama. Sure. Absolutely, this is pretty casual.
you know, you've touched on Christian forgiveness or forgiveness that you receive from the Lord. You know, there's one thing God says, I forgive you. There's another thing where you accept their forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in your heart at that time? Or can you walk us through some of the challenges that you had to, you know, kind of like God says, like, well, I'm going to take away your guilt and your shame. But if you're still holding on to that guilt and your shame and not giving it to the Lord, you know, like it's, I don't know if that makes sense.
It does, Anvesh. To be honest with you, and I still have things that I'm holding on to that I need to be healed from, and, you know, but I know that it sounds weird, but it's almost supernatural. It, you know, as I said, there was definitely, you know, crying obviously releases a lot. You know, I mean, I went down to my knees and I was like bawling in front of the Lord and praying for his forgiveness. And it's just something happens and it's done, which is how I know it's from the Lord. you know, for me anyway. I mean, I can't speak for others and how they deal with the issues of forgiveness. And one of the biggest things that, like, when Greg and I were preparing for being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, we talked a lot about the total forgiveness and all that stuff. The forgiveness that I needed to do had to do with forgiving myself and allowing God to work in me and release that from me. Because all the other stuff, I was blinded by other people and how they hurt me. Because I was so involved in my own shame that it really, you know, didn't matter, which, you know, part of me, it makes it much more easy for me to accept people, too, because I've been there, I've done that, you know, and I don't know, there's just something that God does in your heart and your head, and it just releases almost supernaturally. It's just a beautiful thing, and I'm very grateful. And talking about it makes me think of, you know, other areas of my life that I need to invest in that, you know, because I think a lot of times when it comes to shame and healing, our natural reaction is to shy away from those thoughts and shy away from those feelings and bury those things, you know, and the Lord makes it safe enough where it can come back up, especially when he puts you in a community that loves you, you know. Yeah. Well, Sydney was saying that, yeah, I'm so bad at memory and repeating things.
You have no safe place. You or the Lord gave you a safe place, and therefore he transformed you to become a safe place.
Okay. Yeah. He was saying that I needed a safe place, and that the Lord provided that, and I became a safe place for others. Mm-hmm. Which is true. Yes. Yeah, it's a very nice set. Yeah, yes. I agree with you there. I agree with you.
That is so true.
Yes, absolutely. And then there's my birthday buddy over here. Anvesh and I are lucky enough to share a birthday with little man.
Yep.
I have one follow-up question.
Sure. I think that for me, I had to build myself up with the Word. I had to read a lot of the Bible and open myself up to be a little bit more vulnerable. It was definitely something that took time. And you kind of have to be patient with it. It doesn't happen necessarily overnight. I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like, you know, for Saul to become Paul. But it's usually not like that for most people. I mean, we, as Christians, we go through, it's a journey, you know. It starts with a little seed and grows, you know. It's like the mustard seed. And it's something that just seek and search and don't give up in growing in the Lord and reach out to other people and be vulnerable. What were you going to say?
I said, yes, he got knocked off his donkey. Like you're saying, but he took 14 years to digest what the Lord wanted him to do.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, that is true. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sometimes you need to be kicked off the donkey, too.
A lot of times the Lord does his best work in those scenarios.
He just knocks
and the scales come way from your eyes, and, you know, yeah. you see things differently. And it's a powerful, you know, yeah. He had a powerful event. Not all Christians have that really powerful, you know. Yes, it's not a singular moment. It's very powerful, absolutely, the journey and how you grow, you know, but it's not that, you know.
Yeah. And that's a, most important note is it's a journey. It's a journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not all at once. And bad things don't stop. I mean, it's, you know, this idea that, you know, you become a Christian and all is good in the world. And, you know, that's just not real. You know, you still deal with pain and suffering. You still deal with things out of your control. You still sin. You still do a lot of things. But it's just a different, you deal with it differently. You love differently. You know, you just, you grow differently. It's just a beautiful thing.
Laments his struggle against his flesh, the first thing he does is just say, praise be to God for Jesus Christ who helps me, basically. He cries out to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first thing we have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody else have any questions? Yeah. Or you have any?
Well, that was really a God timing thing again. I left my job at the county, kind of not real eagerly, because I liked my job, after I had Jeremiah, okay? And part of what I wanted to do with my time is I wanted to kind of invest in Sean, because he seemed like he was in a season where he was a little bit depressed.
Yeah.
And he wasn't leaving the house or anything, and so
you know, there was that whole COVID thing.
Yeah. That was depressing. And so, you know, I wanted to invest in Sean and get to know him a little better. So I took him out like maybe once a week sometimes. And no more. I think he likes hearing it. Maybe you want to see?
Oh, come on.
There we go.
I see him.
Okay. I was liking that. All right. So, I started hanging out with him once a week, just getting to know him and everything. And then Jennifer was like, I really. Because Sean's programming was, he wasn't.
No, Sean, day programming is not his thing. He did not enjoy being out and about in the community with a bunch of people. Too much chaos. I mean, you know, one of his first trips out with the group at one of his agencies that he was with, he put the Air Force Base on shutdown because Sean took off. They couldn't find him. He was inside the museum just wandering around.
Yeah.
Sean needs a lot of one-on-one kind of attention because he does things, you know, and he doesn't like the noise and the commotion when they were inside. I mean, if they had like a ABA program that he had in school, it would have been different in the adult world, but it's not available. It's not out there, you know. So I really wanted somebody to work with him on one-on-one and still get him out into the community. And Teresa, you know, Jane helped out for a while too, which was a wonderful thing. And Teresa was talking about going back to work, and I think I just mentioned it to her, and I'm like, well, you know, you could become a paid aide for Sean, because I was paying you for a while until it took forever.
Yeah.
County does not move fast.
No.
But it all pays fairly well.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, for you know what you do. But.
And I think that it was, because prior to that, I really didn't see Sean much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to, through that, get a relationship with him, so I have some sort of idea about his cues. Because I think it would be hard to work with Sean in a big group, because like some of the things that would cue you on into him getting upset are something you have to be looking for.
Yes, true.
And then I ended up taking care of Sean a few days a week, and it has been really wonderful for me, because I think it's been transformative for my prayer life, because I can pray for Sean. And I just have to have faith that the Lord is doing work, because I can't see it so readily. But it does seem like he has a growing interest for the things of the Lord.
He does.
And it and I know that it may be a process that takes a while, but like I'm invested because Sean really feels like my brother. Like my little brother. I said, I don't think anything's coincidence. My mom did have a miscarriage after me. And maybe I've always longed to have like a sibling that is younger. Right. And I feel like Sean is that for me. And I think we've grown to enjoy one another and have a relationship. And he definitely has a relationship with my kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
We actually had a really cute situation this morning. Teresa and Jeremiah introduced Sean to the kids show Minnow, which is really, really good show for the little tots learning about Christ and all that stuff. So this morning, you know, Sean and I, you know, he talks about that show a lot and talks about King Xerxes and Adam and Eve and all these other Jesus. You know, you hear him talking about it. It was great. Well, this morning, while we were waiting for his other aide to come get him this morning, he went out to his lunchbox and I heard him opening up, you know, his lunchbox to sneak, you know, stuff he shouldn't have. And I said, Sean, what are you doing? And I said, put that away. I said, are you being a sneaky snake? And he laughed. Oh. I said, well, what did Jesus do to the sneaky snake? And he looked at me. He said, what? And I said, he stomped his heel on him. and he looked at me. He looked at me like and he laughed. It was cute. It was cute. But it's neat to hear those. You know, having those conversations. And Teresa, like. It's fun, like Christmas, and when she came over at Christmas, you know, you have to draw it out of him, but he'll tell you eventually that it's Christ's birthday, you know? I mean, it's just fun. It's just very interesting. But, yeah, I think all of this, all these opportunities have brought her and her family closer and closer together, which has been beautiful, you know, and it's been wonderful.
Jeremiah's always asking to go over to Jennifer's house. Like, he loves being over there.
He just comes over for the strawberries. What he doesn't know is I keep them fully stocked at all times for Jeremiah. But
yeah.
Just like a good grandma would, you know.
Of course. Yeah. But, it's really been a journey where we have become like family. And I think that this is like for life type of thing. I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We are in it.
We're in it together. But I think that's a testimony to the church, too, because I think our relationship demonstrates what God wants of this church.
And that
we are a family of God. And we do and grow together and you know, worship together and cry together and grow together.
I think this is a picture of what the Lord wants for us in the adoption. Yeah, I think a lot of people can look around the congregation, have similar relationships where it's like the Lord drew us together in like a really unlikely couple of people into a familial relationship because we have Christ in common. And it's just wonderful what he does in his church, just commonly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Certainly not.
Man, Children's Services dropped me off and said, you can have her.
got it.
We don't want her anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can share a little bit about
Right. I think that definitely in the world that we're in, and I see more and more of it, that as a culture, we have become very isolated. I mean, it used to be back in the day, or Santa can speak to this, and some of you know this to be true now because of the Christians that you are, but most neighborhoods, you don't know your neighbors. You don't talk to your neighbors. You come home at night, you close your garage door, and you enter into your haven, your cave, and that's not what God intended for us. You know, he wanted us to be a family, and I think that the book, The Unknown, although it hasn't been hugely popular this summer because everybody's been so busy, for me it's been a beautiful opportunity to get a lot to know a lot of you individually, which has been a beautiful thing. But that's what God wants from us, is to invest in each other and build a family of God so that we can support each other in a way that Jesus would support his disciples, and how God supports us. You know, I mean, he puts each of us in each other's lives for that purpose. You know, I think that we have to be open to that, because I know this might be hard for you to believe, but I was very, before I came to GCF, I was to the point where I was very closed off. I mean, you wouldn't think that now because I'm so open book, but it's something in terms like what Anavesh was saying, what would I recommend for people? And that is just to have faith and understanding that you are a child of God, that he made you beautiful, and you have so much to share with others, to stop hiding and stop being shameful and stop being so proud and humble yourselves, and, you know, get to know each other and love each other in a way that Christ taught us. And if you're not doing that, why are you not doing that, you know? Stop protecting yourselves, because all it's doing is harming you in the long run, you know?
I think the whole love your neighbor has become so abstract.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when it's actually just fairly simple. Who's your neighbor? The people you encounter every day, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Just as you're going about whatever God has you do day to day, whether it's your family, mm-hmm. the church, and then the people at your workplace, and, you know, people you encounter as you go home.
Yeah. But it's somewhat, I like to think it's somewhat contagious, you know? If I do everything in my power, or the power of Christ, because truly it's not my power, but to go out of my way to ensure that I'm opening doors for people and blessing people and saying, can I pray for you? And these are things that were completely uncomfortable to me. For me, I mean, how long did it take me for me to pray out loud? I mean, I went to meetings after meetings after meetings where I kept quiet, and or to be a part of the prayer team and actually be part of the prayer team and up here and actually pray for people, it wasn't something that was natural to me, you know. And I'm not very good at it, but my heart's there. God's heart's there, you know. I don't have the verses memorized like I'd like. There's a lot of growth that needs to occur in me, you know. But now I'm getting older and I can't remember anything. That's not true. I don't have any room left. It's all full with work stuff, I think. I'm trying to get rid of that and enter in some new, but I don't know. As I said, it's just a journey, and I encourage everybody to take that journey, not be fearful of it. God's intentions are for good, and to open up your heart and trust. And although people will hurt you, to find the forgiveness and grow with that, you know.
Prayer, which I loved, it ends with, how
think so.
Not just wear the name of the church and work next to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm reminded of how there was, I think this was a Roman way of doing battle. They would lock arms with their shields and go forth with a locked shield thing, a united front. And it, you know, in battle, first of all, it's commonly said in battle, there's no people, there's no atheists in foxholes, right?
Yeah,
right.
Because your very life is being threatened. But it also, it's not just that the whole army is moving one way like a crowd, that you don't know the people in it. I'm hearing about these teen crowds at places in Ohio.
Yes.
They just get together and there's such a force, no one, the police can't handle them because they're way
so
out
destructive,
control.
Yeah.
A thousand people, a wall of people. That's not, though, the family that God has in mind. He doesn't want just a wall of people. He wants them to know each other and to be, to experience the love of God in Christ Jesus through each other. Despite how different our backgrounds might be or whatever, you know, we say iron sharpens iron. Well, we're meant to sharpen each other in perception of how God is working among us and to give him the glory. What's the chief end of man?
To
worship the Lord and to enjoy him forever, right?
Amen.
It doesn't say together, but how can you worship and enjoy the Lord? How does that get amplified? It gets amplified through other people's lives.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah.
And the thing I was thinking about asking about was how your connection was through Hope Rising. That's what but I just thought, you know, there's just another example of you taking something that was really broken and turning it into, like the Lord does.
Yes.
He has this way of turning into something that you never dreamed you would want to have public, much less, you know, admit it to anybody that you knew, you know. And then he takes that and he turns it around into a blessing for, and his will for us is that it would be a blessing for the whole world.
Amen.
Not a small scale blessing, but like a big, big blessing.
Amen.
And I really feel like you too have embodied that for us today.
Oh, so thank you.
Praise God.
Aww. A little AI.
It was a couple weeks ago. I don't want to be seen, actually. It was a couple weeks or a couple months ago, I think, that I didn't even know what I was coming up for prayer for. And it was the way that you prayed for me, it wasn't what you said necessarily. It was your presence, I guess. And you, like, held my hand, and it was just wonderful. I can't even remember what you said. And that's kind of like God's love was being shown to, like, through you to me.
Aww.
And you know, you say, laugh about how you're a grandma, you're a mom. You are. It's like really amazing to me. And like, we're friends, but like, there's also that, like, you have a lot to give in that, like, you know, older, you know, you've gone through more of life and you have a lot to offer in every way. So
well, thank
I
you.
Wanted to share that. Yeah. And I think we should close because of the time. Do you want to close in
prayer? Sure, I'll say a prayer.
like you think of this is a bad example. You think of the character Rarity from the My Little Pony, if you know that show, who's always just so generous. That's basically you.
Oh goodness gracious. Lord God, I'm not extravagant. You are, Lord. You give us so much hope and love and kindness, Lord. If anything we've talked about today has been your goodness, Lord. And I just pray for all Christians and really everyone to turn to you and to love you for who you are and see the beauty that you put in our lives. And I just thank you and I look forward to worshiping you this morning. Thank you for your son and what he did on that cross. Thank you for washing away our sin and giving such a glorious hope into eternity. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.